Here's our girl, Shura. They're going to sing. What are you going to sing, girls? What's that?
People, and yeah, I would have you to know the times of the Lord be upon me, yea. And yeah, I say that thou should comfort thyself. Yea, and know that if I be for thee, that I am more than all that can come against thee. Oh, I say unto thee, my people, the ones that are called by my name, put your trust and faith in me, yea. For I shall never leave thee, saith the Lord, and yea, I shall never forsake thee. I say I look for a people, yea, a people that are fully persuaded, that have made up their mind that they love the Lord, and that the Lord will withhold no good thing from me. I say, move out tonight, my people. Move out, I say, and know that I, the Lord thy God, am ever at thy side. Yea, I say, my ear is open to thy cry. Oh, I say, know thy God. Know thy God and be strong, yea. For they that know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits, saith the Lord. And yea, I shall supply thy need. I say, why froth thee what thou shalt drink, what thou shalt wear. I say, if thou wilt walk by my side, if thou wilt trust and abide in me, I shall supply thy need. Oh, I say, comfort yourselves, my people, and know that I am for thee, saith the Lord.
People who were blind leaders of the blind. He spoke of people who had ears that heard nothing, eyes that saw nothing. He said blind leaders of the blind, both falling into the ditch. In Paul's day, he wrote to Timothy a letter and declared in the last days some would have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. He said, from such turn away. I didn't. My God, I'm in such a hurry to preach, I didn't pass the buckets. Pass the buckets while I preach. My God, put your envelope in there and put your offering in there if you didn't bring it while I preach. Keep shouting, folks. Hallelujah! 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 The Apostle Paul declared some would have a form of godliness, but God wouldn't be in it. It would be merely a form that denied the power thereof. Are you listening? We live in the day and the hour when Isaiah in the 29th chapter declared, let me put it to you, of the day and the hour in which we live, saying, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work and the wonder, and God's doing it. But Isaiah in the 13th verse of the 29th chapter said, therefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their lips, with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me. Know what I mean by that? They draw near God with their mouth. But you can't worship God with your mouth. What you say from your lips is the result of worshiping God in your spirit from your heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I belong to the church. I've been baptized. That's not worship. The devil can say, I've been baptized. The devil can say, I belong to the church. The devil many times says, I'm saved, but he's a liar. The devil can say, I'm a Christian. The devil goes to church. The devil has a profession, because the devil's got an awful lot of people to go to church with a beautiful profession. There are such things as demons of religion. You believe it? As the Bible said, some would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They would depart from the truth. Right? And Paul, as he wrote to Timothy in the 4th chapter, said, explained very plainly that there's such a thing as a form of religion. That's a religious demon that deny the reality. Yes? My God, churches are full of people who have a form, ceremony, ritual, natural ability, talent, beautiful music, and even preaching. But I tell you, friend, preaching is no sign of old-time salvation. Now, a preacher can get in the pulpit and deny the reality of salvation, can deny the Holy Ghost, the signs, the gifts, the wonders, and the gifts of the Spirit, can deny the blood of Jesus and tell you the blood of Jesus is no more effective than the blood of a cow, a dog, or a goat, and they do it. That's no sign of old-time salvation. Pulpits are filled with preachers who even deny the blood, the existence of sin, say there's no hell, there's no eternal punishment. Pews are filled with people that don't believe in the old-time power of God or the blessing of God or the knowledge of sins are forgiven. They don't believe in the Holy Ghost, and in fact, they don't even believe they can be saved. But you ask them if they're saved, they say, oh, I'm a Christian. They honor God with their mouth. They draw near God with their mouth, and with their lips they honor God, but have removed their heart far from me, and their precept toward me, rather, their fear toward me, God said, is taught by the precepts of men. Right? People sitting in the pews are told, now, folks, you better be careful. You better be on your guard if I were you. Now, I believe in all the wonderful things that God is doing, and I don't want you to get the impression that I don't believe in healing. But when you go to these big tent meetings and these big healing miracle revivals, I want to warn you, you have what Isaiah said, fear toward me, and the things that I do is taught by men. My God, no wonder the hearts of the people are filled with fear. People are so bound by fear today, it's been taught by men from the pulpit. And God said, though they may draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips shout, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. But God said, their heart isn't in it. It's just from the lips. It's just from the mouth. It's not coming from the heart. Their heart is far removed from me. God said, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work and a wonder in that day. Right? Jeremiah, speaking at the same time, said, behold, I will do a new thing. In Habakkuk he said, proclaim ye this among the heathen, because I will do a work in your day. You will not believe, but it be told you. So we live in the day when blind are leading the blind. People have eyes that see nothing. As it was in the days of Balaam, he had eyes, but he saw nothing. Till God opened his eyes. And if God hadn't opened his eyes, I don't know what would have happened. But there was an angel in the road about to kill him, and the angel plainly said, 3 times I would have destroyed you if it hadn't been for the ass you were riding. Everybody listen to me. This brings me to my text. And it's found in the 22nd chapter of Numbers. And it's a backslidden preacher that's talking. And as far as I know, this is the first time he's confessed his sin in a long time. Because he's bound with pride and conceit, puffed up with a feeling of his own importance. He hasn't had a prayer meeting for some time to really try to touch God. Because it was on his knees that he hardened his heart and stiffened his neck and rebelled and refused and told God he was going to go anyway. Everybody still with me? Did you ever hear of a backslidden prophet named Balaam? Did you know that one time God decided and chose and ordained that little old seed Jimmy was going to take him for a ride? He got astride that little old seed Jimmy, started in the wrong direction to do the wrong thing in the will of out of the perfect will of God, because he had been promised from old King Balak a promise of great promotion. You preachers better be careful when they tell you, if you come over here and take this church, you'll get more tithes and you'll get more offering. You'll have a bigger Sunday school and you'll have more prestige. Many preachers backslid and lost out of God because he got out of the perfect will of God just to get off somewhere for a more promotion, more prestige, a bigger church, so he could have a better report at the next convention. God have mercy on some of you preachers that send in your applications to churches and are always trying out. Would you like to come over to our church and try out? We need a new preacher. Then you pull out the best sermon you think you've got, pull it out of your bag, or get it out of your notebook and say, now, God, this is the day I'm going to try out for this new church. My God, let me impress the people that I'm a good preacher. You old backslider. So you ever do that? Yeah, I've done that once. But I prayed to and told God I never would do it again. If God wants to promote me, he knows how to promote me. If God wants to give me a church, bless God, he can give it to me the way they gave in churches in the Bible days. These preachers are always going somewhere to try out, trying to get a church. But I guess that's about the only way they can get a church these days, to try out. I still love you, preacher. You still love me. But if you trust God, God can give you a church without you going over there trying out. Trying out. My God, have mercy. When a church is so cold and dead and dry and modern, it thinks they can judge a preacher's character and his ability by listening to one sermon. Why, some of the best preachers in the world can get up. Some of the preachers, I may say, can preach one of the greatest sermons you ever heard and be a devil the minute he leaves the pulpit. You can't tell by his sermon whether he's a good man or a good preacher or not. You better let the Holy Ghost give you a preacher. You better let the Holy Ghost send you a preacher. You better let God send you a preacher. Some of these preachers that are trying out, just pull out the best while they're trying. You don't know what they're doing when they're not trying out. Woo! But it seems that old Balaam was already backslid when he got on this old shoe genie, and he started over to prophesy against the children of God. And I tell you this, when he missed the will of God, he backslid so quick. He was so spiritually blind that he couldn't see the miracle of the supernatural thing that God had put in the middle of his path to stop him. And when a preacher gets out of God's will and begins to put money first, begins to commercialize over the things of God, you listening? Just goes over here, goes over there because he'll get more tithes or get all the tithes or get a bigger salary or have a better parsonage to live in. Or because the church provides him better commodities or because the golf course may be better in that area. Or because they might be closer to big game hunting or deep sea fishing. You better watch out. He'll get so spiritually blind He can't see the supernatural thing that God is doing. That's my thought tonight, and here's my text. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I didn't know that thou stoodest in the way. I sinned because I couldn't see you standing there. You listening? I sinned because I could not see. I had eyes, but I couldn't see. But Jack, the old jackass or the donkey he was riding, had eyes too. But he saw. He saw an angel standing in the road with a flaming sword. But Balaam couldn't see the angel. Some people today can see supernatural things. Other people can't see a thing that God is doing. And when God performs a miracle, they declare it's a natural act. It's not a supernatural thing. Because when the jackass opened his mouth and began to preach in Balaam's language, and he heard an old donkey talking to him in his own language, he accused the donkey, not God, of talking. And he accused the donkey of mocking him. He was so unspiritual and so cold in his soul and dried up spiritually, he didn't know it was God talking to the jackass. He accused the donkey of doing something natural. Who in the world ever heard of donkeys talking? My God, if I had ever heard a jackass I'm riding start preaching to me, I wouldn't say, what are you mocking me for, Jack? My God, I'd know. I'd have an unspiritual discernment to know. It must be something supernatural and something out of the ordinary and something out of the natural. It must be God. But old Balaam was a backslid. When the jackass began to preach to him, began to talk to him and reprimand him, why, he said, what are you mocking me for? He said, if I had a sword, I'd crush you through and through. But all he could find was a club, and he started beating it. Because he wasn't going to have no jackass preaching to him. That's why some preachers don't come to my tent. They say, I'm just a plain old jackass. Oh, some of them even say worse things about me than that. Well, I want to tell you this. God will use a jackass, but he won't use some of these backslid preachers. Say amen. Say amen. Bada! Go on, shout, preacher. Why do I care what they say about me? They haven't said a thing about me they didn't say about my Jesus. There have been an awful lot of things to Jesus and Peter and Paul and James and all the rest of them they've never done to me. They haven't nailed me to a cross yet. But I said God will use an old genie before he'll use some preachers. God will let a plain beast of the field see the supernatural and the miraculous and the thing that he's doing before some preachers will ever see it. Because some preachers are sinning, they don't seem to know that they're in sin. But this man finally began to wake up, and I get to it in a minute what woke him up. But when he woke up, he said, my God, I have sinned because I couldn't see. It is a sin to be blind to the thing that God's doing. Amen. I said it is a sin to be unable to discern and to see what God does in the Spirit. You believe it? I'm getting to you tonight. I want to get through to every one of you. It's time we realize that getting to heaven is holiness and righteousness, and no sin is going to get there. And it's a sin to be so spiritually blinded, we can't discern the supernatural, and we don't enjoy the supernatural things of God. This man said, I have sinned, because I saw you not. It's a sin to be so spiritually blind that we don't see the supernatural, miraculous thing that God is doing in our own pathway. Raise your hands and let's say yes to God.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes.
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 Eyes they have, they don't see nothing. Ears they have, they don't hear nothing. And here's a man with two eyes. He can see the wall on either side of him. He can see the jackass he's riding, but he can't see what God's doing. Some preachers know the church they're going to next. They know what they're going to preach when they get there. They can tell you the number of the highway they're going to take, but they can't see the thing that God's doing on the road. God lets some beast of the field be used before he lets backslid prophets. I'm getting close to some of you preachers. I'm getting close to some of you lay members. And if you come with your feelings sticking out tonight, I'm going to brush just as close against them as I can. I want you to feel it. But some of you do come to church, you know, with your feelings sticking out like an old cat going down a dark alley at night with her whiskers sticking out. She lets them whiskers guide her. She knows when she's about to run into something because them long whiskers rub up against something. But you running into something tonight. If you've got your feelings sticking out, I'm rubbing up against them. But hear me. It's time the judgment begins at the house of God. Pews are filled and pulpits are filled with preachers like Balaam that can't see a thing that God is doing today. They'll take the works of God and attribute them to the works of the devil. They'll say that that person got healed. If they got healed, the devil did it. If this person, particular person, gets a miracle, they say, well, you'll have to confess they're getting healed. But the devil's doing it. Why, there's a blind that can't see the supernatural thing that God is doing. And if God does a supernatural thing, they'll attribute to something in the natural. Because when the jackass opened his mouth and started speaking in his own language and said, Balaam, 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 what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? He heard it. But he didn't have his mind, or his heart wasn't wrapped up in spiritual things. So, isn't that funny? A jackass, a talking. Mocking me, mocking me, mocking me. Give me a club. He got himself a club. You listen?
Yes.
If he'd had an ounce of spirituality, he would have known that the jackass wasn't mocking him. He'd never heard a jackass talk before. The only thing in the world he'd ever heard a jackass do was bray. But the jackass isn't braying now. He's doing something that's out of the ordinary. Something that's away from the natural. It's a supernatural thing for a beast of the field, a donkey, to start talking a man's own language. But he didn't believe it was God. Like preachers today, they don't believe this is God. It's something in the flesh. It's something earthly. It's something fleshly. You listening? Balaam said to the ass, why, because thou hast mocked me. I would there was a sword in my hand, I'd kill you. The very idea of a jackass mocking me. See, he didn't know it was God. He said it's a jackass. It wasn't supernatural, it was natural. The jackass was doing it all himself. I see you nodding your head back there. We're in the arena 2 years ago. We just came from there in this meeting. Had a great campaign. Places packed and jamming. Thousands of people shouting and dancing in the spirit one time. Brother Schambach, who was working with us at that time, stood way in the back. He's kind of making a round of the arena. See how things were in the back. Met one of his own old Bible school fellows, buddies, you know, went to Bible school with him at Central. Well, the Lord bless you. It's good to see you in one of our campaigns. Enjoying the services, said, said, you call this worship? Brother Schambach said, sure, what do you call it? The joy of the Lord in the presence of God and the supernatural power of God falling and people exalting the Lord and the blessing of God coming down and people by the hundreds getting healed everywhere as God's power fell. Why, he said, you call that worship? Somebody said, what do you call it? He said, it's not a thing in the world but the flesh and fanaticism. Sandbach looked at him and I and said, listen, I remember when you used to go back to Bible school that first year. Said, you used to shout and dance more than any other student over at Central. Who preached it out of you? Said, was all that shouting and dancing you did then, flesh and of the devil? Was it fanaticism? The kid couldn't look him in the eye. He had to turn around and walk on off. He knew he was backslid. To retrieve the glory and the supernatural and the blessing and the power of God to something natural. You listening? This is the biggest sin that preachers and church members can commit today. Fail to see and fail to feel and fail to discern the supernatural, miraculous thing that God is doing today and attribute it to something in the natural. Say amen with me, folks. You know we live in an hour and a day when you're warned from the pulpit about one thing more than anything else. Now you better be careful. Let's stay in the middle of the road. Let's don't get off on the deep end now. Let's let everything be done decently and in order. You're afraid to clap your hands without permission from the pulpit. You're afraid to shout unless you get permission from the pulpit. You won't even raise your hands and rejoice unless somebody said it's all right. Raise your hands and praise the Lord. You won't even say amen unless the preacher says, everybody say amen. And you all shout amen, but you won't say amen unless somebody gives you permission. My God, a church is backslid if they have to have the amens and the hallelujahs and the praise the Lord pumped out of them by the preacher. The people, oh, raise your hands and let's say amen to God. Glory! Glory! People that's bound to fear, oh, go on, God wants you to shout. God wants you to shout. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and worship God.